Well, it's true that some of you I've met tonight for the very first time, and very few in this room have I known beyond a year and a half. But still, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I'm almost certain that every person sitting here tonight knows what it's like to feel alone. Every person here, probably at some point in your life, maybe even in the present, knows what it's like to feel alone. Now, the context will differ person to person. The young child sometimes feels alone in the schoolyard in the middle of the day, having trouble finding a game or a group of kids to fit in with. Sometimes it's the teenager struggling to connect with their own parents, and they feel alone. Sometimes it's the death of someone very close to us. The death of a loved one, a spouse, a brother, a sister, a child. Sometimes the death of a loved one can make us feel very alone. Sometimes it's the desertion of a loved one that makes us feel alone. Would you be surprised to hear me say that I've met individuals who've said to me they know what it's like to feel alone, even among a large crowd of people at a party or a gathering? I know individuals who feel alone even in their own home while others are still present. Loneliness can be powerful, and it can also be very painful. Whether we are introverted or whether we are extroverted, every human being has been designed with a longing for inclusion and connection. Now, I don't mean to sidetrack to something silly, but I've been thinking seriously, very seriously, over the last year or so about the popularity of Facebook. Now, I've been reading all kinds of explanations for why Facebook has succeeded. But I think the most obvious explanation for why 800 million people in this world use Facebook is this. Facebook has succeeded at making people feel connected. It helps people cope and deal with a sense of loneliness. As the old theme song from Cheers goes, we all want to go to a place where everyone knows our name. The folks here at St. Andrew's Kirk tease me for going out to play ball hockey on West Bay Street every Wednesday evening. And as I think about why I go out to West Bay Street every Wednesday evening to play hockey, the answer isn't altogether about hockey, but it has a lot to do with connection, feeling connected to a group of people. I think you might have a similar experience. Maybe for you, it's the tennis club, or the yacht club, or Rotary, or the people you play bridge with. We all have groups of people, organizations, that help us to feel connected. Yes, God has so designed us that we have this insatiable longing to be connected, to feel included, to feel like there's a place in this world where we truly belong. Well, here you are on Christmas Eve, and your reasons for being here this evening are undoubtedly varied. For some of you, this is your home church. We open the doors, doesn't matter what day of the week it is, you're here. This is your thing. For others, you've been thinking about Christmas, and you realize that it's not all about the gifts and the turkey dinners, and so you've come to engage that spiritual side. You're here tonight because you know that Christmas is about Jesus. And if we're honest, some of you are here tonight because you share a residence with someone who insisted that you have no choice in the matter. And I know this because for my teenage years, I was one of those boys who the only reason why I was in church was because my mother said I had to be. So your reasons for being here tonight are going to vary from person to person. But I want us all to leave here tonight with the same thing in mind. I want us to all leave here tonight thinking about connection. In particular, I want us to leave thinking about our connection, our particular connection to God. Because the Christmas story is about how serious God is about connecting with His creation. That God would become one of us demonstrates His deep desire to connect with each of us. Now, I was reading through some Old Testament books over the past couple of weeks, and it's amazing how promise after promise is made by God to His people about how He wants to be connected to them, how He wants to be their God, how He wants to protect them and deliver them and comfort them. To Abraham, God says, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward." To Isaac, God says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." God repeats the same promise to Jacob. And then later on to Joshua, He says, "As I was with Moses, so I will also be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And the promise continues to be delivered to the people of God through the prophets, particularly through Isaiah and Jeremiah, and the message is consistently the same. The God of Israel can be counted on. The God of this universe always shows up on time. He's always ready to draw near to His people. And here in the birth of Jesus, God elevates His commitment to show up. He puts an exclamation point on His promise of care and provision. In Jesus, God puts on human flesh and human frailties. In Jesus, God demonstrates His unbending love toward humanity. Matthew's Gospel connects the birth of Jesus to a prophecy made by Isaiah many years prior. Isaiah says that this child who is born for us, though His name will be Jesus, He will be called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. I think it would be a mistake to imagine that the benefit of God's presence was limited to the time that Jesus spent wandering this earth. You see, humanity's profound connection to God did not end when Jesus physically left this earth. Quite the opposite. During His earthly ministry, Jesus actually told His followers that it would be better once He goes away. So we celebrate Christmas, the advent of the God-man. We celebrate His incarnation. He grows up and He says, "It's going to be better for you when I leave this earth." And He says this knowing that His physical departure will actually serve to intensify the connection between God and humanity. Jesus' phrasing of this reality is unusual by my perspective. In John 14, 18, Jesus says this. Here's the promise of Jesus. He says, "I will not leave you as orphans." I don't know how that phrase strikes you, but when I hear the word orphan, He has my attention. Well, indeed, my mother is alive and she's even present here tonight, so I can't really consider myself an orphan. But when my father died when I was 11 years of age, and as a result of my father dying at age 11, the Canadian government thought it would be a good idea to send me a check every single month I can't remember if it was 75, 80. It wasn't a lot of money, but every month I got a check. And the heading on the check or the memo was orphans benefit. Orphans benefit. Now, I'm sure there was some good and legal reason for calling this distribution program an orphans benefit, but these two words in my mind didn't seem to go together. $75 a month didn't seem much of a benefit when compared to the void I felt not having a father. So I give you that context so that you understand how I come to John 14 when Jesus says to you and to me, He's not going to leave us as orphans. He's not going to leave us scrambling for direction and mentorship. He's not going to leave us scrambling for encouragement and support. Jesus isn't going to offer a lesser consolation like a $75 a month check. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you, He says. And at the close of His earthly ministry, Jesus says to His disciples, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's as if Jesus is saying, you know how you all refer to me as Emmanuel? You know how you all refer to me as the God with us guy? I'm trying to tell you that I'm still here. I'm still going to be with you. If you put your faith in me, I will put my spirit in you. And I will remain in you. And I will never, ever leave you. So friends, as you inevitably seek to fit in this Christmas and beyond, as you continue your lifelong search for meaningful connections, while you attend your club meetings and play cards and golf and all those other things, while you're looking for connection, I want you to remember this. God is with us still. God is with us still. Our human relationships will come and go. Our human relationships are going to change and expire. But God will remain. Christmas is that profound reminder that if we place our trust in Jesus, we'll never, ever, ever be alone. Now, if we're honest, we're all going to put our hand up and say, I know what it's like to feel alone. And those feelings are real. But what I want you to hear this Christmas is you're missing something. You're missing the presence of God. We may feel alone, but we're not. We're never alone. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, I don't know what your Christmas is going to be like. I don't know if it's going to be stressful, humorous, a big party, a big downer. I have no idea. But whatever your Christmas is like, however you're feeling, however disconnected you might feel, know that God stands nearby and He wants to connect with you. And you are never, ever alone. Amen.